Thank you, Brother Chris, and a warm welcome again to all of our guests and the brethren here and to those seeing us on the Internet. And as Chris pointed out, I'm going to be speaking to you today on prayer. And I was wondering earlier today if we might be praying for better weather, because it's a little chilly out there and kind of came across my mind. But I'd like to ask you if you've ever considered, when you pray, do you recognize that as a particular level of prayer? Maybe a level one, a level two, level three? I'd like to, not that this is any way to divide up the prayers, but I just want to show you that they can be divided up. And I want us to think about, when we pray, you know, how we are praying, because it's a good thing to consider and to keep in thought. First, let's look into a prayer that we aren't actually supposed to pray. I don't know if you've ever thought about that or considered that there is a prayer or a way of praying that we're not supposed to do. But if you'll turn to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5, we'll find what Yeshua tells us. Matthew 6, chapter 5, he says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the congregations and on the corners of the streets, to be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have the reward." This is a way of praying that we're not supposed to do. We're not supposed to go out on the streets and be praying in front of people to be seen by them. We can also find in Matthew 23, let's turn there. I think when he was mentioning hypocrites, he was talking about the Pharisees, the scribes. We find in Matthew 23, verse 14, he says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you eat up widows' houses and for a show make long prayers. Because of this, you shall receive greater judgment." Some pretty strong words for the Pharisees that were doing this and the scribes. Notice that he put giving long prayers with, taking widows' houses. What a horrible thing to do. And it shows the severity of this way of praying, that we're not supposed to do that. Well, as I said, I've been able to find that prayers can be divided up about three different ways. And you might write this down. The first way the prayer can be seen as a simple request or thanksgiving. This would be a short type of prayer. The second type of prayer would be heartfelt, concerned, which can include fasting. The third type of prayer, which will have attributes of one and two, will be a more fervent, impassioned, or effectual emphasis. But type three will specifically have supplication for others. And this sets it apart from the other two types. But all three should be with a humble and contrite attitude and mind, believing that Yahweh will answer. In fact, you can see that Daniel evidently went before Yahweh at least three times a day in Daniel 6. Daniel 6 and verse 13. "And the king, when he heard these things, was greatly displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him." I'm sorry, I'm in 14. Verse 13. "Then they answered and said before the king, 'Daniel, who is one of the sons of the exile from Judah, pays no heed to you, O king, nor for the interdict that you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day.'" Well, that shows there are three times there. Let's go to Psalms 55. King David was said to be a man after Yahweh's own heart, and he expressed a lot of his feelings in the book of Psalms. But in Psalms 55 and verse 17, it says, "Evening and morning and at noon I complain and moan, and he hears my voice." Now, not that we're supposed to complain and moan, but it shows that you can go before our Heavenly Father and pour your heart out to Him no matter what kind of prayer it is. You may be suffering from something that you just need to pour out your heart and ask for help and guidance, and you can go to Yahweh for that. Let's look at some scriptures that point out the kind of pinpoint the first level of prayer. Matthew chapter 9. And again, I'm not saying this is the way this has to be divided up, or it's just something I found that I think would help us to consider when we pray what kind of prayer we're giving. Matthew chapter 9, verse 38. Here Yahshua is telling us to pray and request for more workers out in the field. Chapter 9 and 38. I should have prayed that I'd be able to find these verses a little quicker. But it says, Yeshua says, "Pray then that the master of the harvest would send out workers to his harvest." This is something we need to keep in our prayers. This would be just a very quick prayer. And it could be classified as a type 1 prayer. Matthew 24, verse 20. Says, "And pray that your flight does not take place in winter or on the Sabbath." This would be a quick, simple prayer. But if you're actually taking flight, I'm sure that you would enter into some other levels of prayer if you're actually taking flight. And for those that think the Sabbath was done away with, this is, well, there was times that his people had to flee. And there's times evidently that are coming, because this is basically future tense. But for those that think the Sabbath was done away with, why would we need to pray that our flight does not take place in the winter, on the Sabbath, specifically the Sabbath? Let's go to Acts 27. Acts 27 and verse 35. This is Paul speaking, giving an example. "And having said this, he took bread and gave thanks to Elohim in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat." Very simple, short prayer. I've been with others that have prayed at a dinner. And they would go on and on and on, and I was wondering, you know, well. In fact, there was one gentleman, we ate out in the backyard with some others, and he prayed a real loud prayer, so loud that the neighbors must have heard it. And I'm not judging the individual or anything, but I'm wondering why that time and not at other times. We need to make sure that we don't do our prayers to show others, to be seen by men, as was seen, is an example not to do. Let's go into let's see, Acts 27. Okay, and also Yeshua gave the same example. Let's go to Matthew 15, chapter 15 and verse 36. Not a lot said here, but it does say that he gave thanks. "And taking the seven loaves of the fish, giving thanks, he broke them, gave it to his taught ones, and the taught ones to the crowd." Very simple. It would have been a level one prayer. But let's go on to level two. Let's see what we can find as an example for that. We are actually told by Yahweh in Second Chronicles, if you turn there to chapter 7, Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, says, "And my people upon my name is called shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and shall turn from their evil ways. Then I shall hear from the heavens and forgive their sin and heal their land. Now, if we're asking, if we're seeking His face and asking Him to help us turn from our evil ways, that's going to be more involved. That's going to be more emotion involved. We're praying more fervently. I think this would be classified as a level two, because it's going above and beyond just a simple, thank you, and going beyond that. Let's see what Apostle Paul has to say. 1 Corinthians 7. He's speaking here, giving instruction to married couples. Tells them to come apart for a time so you can pray, even fast. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 5. Do not deprive one another except with agreement for a time, to give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again so that Satan does not try you because of your lack of self-control. We're human. Even though we have Yahweh's Spirit to lead and guide us, it can be tough at times. And we don't want to place ourselves in a position of being tempted. So he says, come back so that because of your lack of self-control. But this involves fasting. This involves taking time apart specifically for prayer and worship to Yahweh. And when we come before Yahweh in prayer, we're basically communicating with Him. And with His Spirit, we have direct communication. It's a very awesome thought. And it's a very awesome responsibility on our part to continue to keep that communication open and to do His will. We just read that He says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear. He says He will hear us. Yeshua gave us a basic outline. And I think that in the scope of what we're talking about here gives a really good balanced level two prayer. A lot of people take this and just read verbatim and don't really add or take away anything, but we're actually warned not to have vain repetition and such. Let's go to Matthew 6 and verse 7 and read where it says that. I remember when I was younger, and a gentleman actually came up to me, handed me a piece of paper, a card or something, and it said something that he said I was supposed to say over and over again, in worship. And I knew enough at that time, being taught, about Yahweh, though I didn't understand His name at that time, that wasn't something to be done. But in Matthew 6, 7, we find Yeshua saying, and when praying, do not keep on babbling like the Gentiles, for they think they shall be heard for their many words. And this is right after verse 5 we read, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray and continue on, so forth. Let's read on this about this outline that Yeshua gave us. See if we can get some insight from that. That's Matthew 6 and starting in 9. So this is pretty good. Yahshua tells us not what not to do, and then He tells us a proper way of doing things. It's good instruction for us to learn. Starting in verse 9 of chapter 6, this then is the way you should pray. Our Father who is in heavens, let your name be set apart. That's the first thing, the first example that He gives us that we should be praying about, giving praise to Yahweh, to His name, to His honor and esteem. Going on, we read in verse 10, let your kingdom come, let your desire be done on earth as it is done in heaven. Now, we know that Yahshua came in service to Yahweh and wanted His will to be done. But a lot of the world thinks that Yahshua came to do away with what Yahweh's had originally wanted. That's not the case. We read on in verse 11, "Give us today our daily bread." We know that we're supposed to live by the word, and that is to be our bread. Of course, we need our sustenance, so he's saying, you know, go ahead and freely ask for sustenance from our Heavenly Father and give Him thanks for it. And forgive us our debts, goes on in verse 12, as we forgive our debtors. It's kind of hard to forgive others, but we're instructed to do so. I should say, sometimes it's hard to forgive others. It should be an easy thing for us. Verse 13, "And do not lead us into trial, but deliver us from the wicked one." Well, who's that? That's Satan. It's the one that deceives the world, the one that's out like a roaring lion, out to devour who he can. And if you're calling upon Yahweh and you're trying to do what's right, he's going to come after you. It goes on to say, "Because yours is the kingdom and the power and the esteem forever." He ends, "Amen." It's a well-balanced prayer. It's a good prayer to pray. But it's not the prayer to pray. This wasn't meant to be a specific prayer that you're supposed to pray every day and, you know, three times a day. This is a basic outline. This gives us instruction on how to pray. Now, a third level of prayer, as mentioned before, will have attributes of both this first level and second level. But it specifically will have intercessory prayer for others in it. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And Apostle Paul was telling about his hardships previous to this. And he included the following at the ending. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 28. Well, let's go back and read about some of the things that he went through. Now, Bob, on the way here, had a flat tire. And I'm sure that's a hardship out in this weather, because it's cold, bitterly cold, with the wind blowing. And he asked for, you know, our prayers for him. And we did, and he's here. Let's see what happened to Paul. Verse 25, let's start there. "Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked." Have we ever been shipwrecked? I don't think any of us here can say that. It says, "A night and a day I have been in the deep, in many trials and in many travels, in dangers of waters, in dangers of robbers, in dangers of my own race, in dangers from the Gentiles, in dangers in the city, in dangers in the desert, in dangers in the sea, in dangers among false brothers, in toil and hardship, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the matters from outside, what comes upon me daily, the anxiety for all the assemblies. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble and I do not burn inwardly?" But the point is, in verse 28, he says, "Besides the matters from outside, what comes upon me daily, the anxiety for all the assemblies." Now, he would have been praying for all these assemblies. He would have been giving intercessory prayer fervently, with all of his heart. He cared about these people. He knew his responsibility was to teach and preach and give understanding. You know, he understood that the answers that he gave, or the message that he gave, if it wasn't correct, then he could be in harm, or putting them in harm's way, putting a stumbling block before them. And he didn't want to do that. read what he says to those in Philippi. Let's go to Philippians 1 and verse 9. Again, I should have prayed that I'd get through these verses a little bit quicker. But in Philippians 1, verse 9, it says, "And this I pray, that your love might extend more and more in knowledge and all discernment." Let's go to 2 Corinthians. We see Paul telling those in Corinth. Second Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 7. And he says, "We" here. He says, "We pray to Elohim that you do no evil at all. Not that we should appear approved, but that you should do what is right, even though we should appear unapproved." When he says "we," he speaks of all those that were traveling with him, doing the work, the apostles, teachers, ministers at that time. So they were all praying for those newly immersed, for the brethren, the assemblies. And that's what we should be doing as well. And that's intercessory prayer. And that's a third level of prayer that we can pray. And we know Yeshua gave these type of prayers. Let's turn to Luke. Chapter 22 and verse 44. Yeshua here says, or speaking of Yeshua, he says, "And being in agony, he was praying more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground." Can you imagine that? Scientifically, this is possible, to actually sweat and have molecules of blood. So it's an actual feat that can be done. But when you're in agony and you're earnestly praying, this is going into a level beyond the other two levels that we talked about. Let's read Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7. It says, "And who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and petitions with strong crying and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his reverent fear." Do we have reverent fear when we go before our Heavenly Father and pray? Do we think about what we do during the day, making sure that He is involved, making sure that we're stepping along the straight and narrow path, not taking the wide and easy way? We need to earnestly go before Him in prayer to make sure that we have deep communication with Him. Consistent. Let's go back to 1 Samuel. You actually see that Samuel saw that not praying a level 3 prayer, praying for others, would be a sin. First Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. And says also, "As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against Yahweh." in ceasing to pray for you. Well, I shall teach you the good and straight way. And part of that good and straight way is praying for others. And we need to make sure that we continue to pray for others and keep those prayers in our other requests for day-to-day things, and, you know, giving thanks for our food, we can continue to keep others in our prayers. But we find that the example instruction is clear for us today. Paul included all the apostles when he said, "But we will give ourselves continually in prayer into the ministry of the word." It can be found in Acts 6:4, I believe, wherever you looked at that. Let's go to Luke 6. I'll get finished up here. Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. This is speaking of Yeshua. 6 verse 12, "And in those days it came to be that he, Yeshua, went out to the mountain to pray and was spending the night in prayer to Elohim." Have you ever prayed all night long? If you ever do, I'm sure you're going to pray level 1, level 2, and level 3, all levels of prayer. So next time we pray, let's do it in earnest, wholeheartedly, and let's give thought to what level it might be, level 1, level 2, or level 3. And for one last chapter, I'd like to look at chapter 22 in Luke, and verse 46. "And Yeshua said, and rising up from prayer, and coming to his taught ones, he found them sleeping from grief, and he said to them, 'Why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into trial.'"